Welcome to another episode of the Purple and Bald Podcast from the Daily News Record, this time coming to you from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. It's Thursday afternoon. The JMU Dukes will have their open practice and press conferences and all the things that go with an NCAA tournament appearance coming up here later this afternoon from Barclays Center. We'll break down what to expect from JMU and Wisconsin here in the opening round of the NCAA tournament when the Dukes and the Badgers play 9:40 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. I'm flying solo today in Brooklyn. Katie Harper, my normal partner here on the Purple Bowl podcast, she is out of the country, pre-planned trip before she even took this job at the Daily News Record. So rough timing for her as JMU starts spring football also this week. Follow along with John Breeden, our intrepid prep sports writer at the Daily News Record. He's filling in on some football and women's basketball for me back in Harrisonburg. We'll just talk a little bit spring football. They're getting started in Harrisonburg at Bridgeport Stadium today. Bob Chesney's first practice with the Dukes. Dylan Morris, the new quarterback, the transfer from Washington, his first practice with JMU as well. We'll read and hear a little bit about what John saw at those practices today, the rest of this week, as he covers some spring football. But, you know, from what we see on social media, videos, things, lively atmosphere there. You know, guys like Salman Van Horst back at it after he had a season-ending injury last year. Dylan Morris getting his first action at quarterback wearing a new – I don't know if it's a new shade of purple. They're pretty close at Washington. But the Dukes and Washington both wearing purple. Dylan Morris getting his first look in a JMU uniform. We'll see more and more from them. We'll have more to talk about with the football team. But overall, just the vibe from spring camp as it opens up seems to be a happy one, seems to be people excited to be out there, and a new look coaching staff that handles things a little bit different. You see Chesney kind of getting right into the middle of it, getting out on the field, you know, more active as far as his discussions with players during practices, things like that. So just a different kind of look for practices. And we'll definitely be excited to, I think maybe we can bring John in to talk to us next week about what he saw here in the early practices, and talk a little bit more about football. Also back in Harrisonburg going on today, tonight, the JMU women's basketball team will open up the WBIT in Harrisonburg as the number one seed. Believe it or not, they were originally not in the WBIT. They did not make the field. Miami drops out. They need a replacement. They slide JMU right into that number one seed spot where Miami was. So JMU will host Stony Brook tonight. JMU could host WBIT games throughout the tournament up until the semifinals because they are number one seed in this bracket. They play a Stony Brook team that, quite frankly, talking to their coach Ashley Langford earlier this week, is not excited to be playing in the WBIT. They thought they were going to be an NCAA tournament team. They came up short in the CAA championship. And just sensed a lot of disappointment from that group on playing in this. So it'll be interesting to see how that one ends up shaking out tonight over there at the Atlantic Union Bank Center. I feel like, you know, just from my talks with the coaches, I feel like the Dukes are much more excited to be playing in this game. They feel like they've got a little bit of a new life given to them, a chance to make a run, chance to prove that they should have been in this field all along. Just from a motivation factor, it sure feels like it favors the Dukes going into this one. We'll see. Things could change. You know, maybe Ashley Langford, who is a former JMU assistant, rallies the troops, and we see something similar to a few years ago when JMU played the WNIT, and it was Sean O'Regan against his mentor, Kenny Brooks at Virginia Tech, and JMU was super fired up for that game. They won. They beat Virginia Tech in that one. This was before Virginia Tech kind of went on their run to become a national powerhouse under Brooks. You know, now Sean's wearing the other shoe in this one. He's the mentor coaching against his protege as Ashley Langford, who was in Harrisonburg for a good amount of time, several years, coaching under Sean. He was her mentor. She's coming back to coach against him. They're going to run a lot of the same things. They'll might even be making some of the same play calls late in the game. You know, they'll do very similar things. They run a similar style. You'll see that she has picked up a lot from Sean O'Regan as a coach. But, yeah, I really think the mentality in this one might be the difference, because it's a very good Stony Brook team, a very talented Stony Brook team. Sharice Pittman, a JMU transfer, is one of their better players. Averages about 13 points a game and 7 rebounds, and has been really productive for them since leaving JMU. But, you know, really just trying to get Ashley to talk about anything that she was excited about for this game. She really just thought her team was more or less very disappointed to not be playing in the NCAA tournament and wasn't sure how they were going to come out in this one. So very interesting to see how that one comes out tonight, Thursday night, at the Atlantic Union Bank Center. In the meantime, I am coming to you from a also very nice arena. You know, walking around the Barclays Center, it can kind of remind you a little bit of the Atlantic Union Bank Center on steroids to a degree. Very, very nice place here in Brooklyn. Hospitality has been great. Right now, you might hear some background noise. UConn is playing an afternoon session here tomorrow. They're on the court right now having their open practice. JMU's will come up later this afternoon. I'm recording this about 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. JMU will be starting to get ready to take the floor. They won't be on the floor quite yet, but in about an hour, they'll be starting to get ready to take the floor. Fans can get a look at them. Also be some press conferences with them and Wisconsin coming up later this afternoon to get to hear more from them. But, you know, really digging into tomorrow's game between the Dukes and the Badgers. I watched a lot of Wisconsin basketball here over the past few days, you know, replays and on demand of some of their Big Ten games. And, you know, what really kind of strikes you about Wisconsin is that when they play to their best capability, they are, you know, probably one of the better teams in the country. They rose up to number 6 in the AP poll at one point. They're still up, you know, in the top 20 in KenPom. They're capable. They have some really good wins, including quite recently, last week in the Big Ten tournament against Purdue. Their ceiling is very high. They've been very inconsistent throughout the year, however. 4-game losing streak at one point. Just really up and down as far as things have gone for UConn throughout the year. I watched some of those other games in the Big Ten. A loss to Indiana at one point. Watched that. And you know, really, frankly, halfway through that game, I was like, I'm going to switch to something else because I'm not seeing anything from this game that makes me think this team will beat JMU. And I switched to another game, an Ohio State game. They won. They looked better in that one. Maybe not world beaters in that one, not as good as they looked against Purdue or even against Illinois in a game that they lost in the Big Ten championship game on Sunday. But it's a team that, you know, hasn't played as consistently as JMU, obviously against a different level of competition in the Big Ten. But JMU's had the mentality to kind of bring it every game so far this year. They've played pretty close to their best, you know, a lot of times throughout this season. And, you know, they've had their moments. They maybe haven't played 40 minutes of their best basketball every time out. But they've been focused pretty much going into almost every game, and that's how you end up with a 31-3 record. As opposed to Wisconsin comes in 22-13. You know, a lot of those losses are to really good teams. They've lost to Tennessee. They've lost to Arizona. They've lost to Purdue and Illinois multiple times now at this point. But you also mix in some games that, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, you write off as they're just playing good teams. They've lost at Penn State. They lost at Nebraska. Nebraska is very good at home this year. I'm not sure saying that's a bad loss necessarily, but a loss to a Michigan team that really, really struggled down the stretch. Rutgers, Indiana, as I said before. You really just kind of wonder which Wisconsin team we're going to see tomorrow, because when you watch them play, even though they don't play some exactly the same styles, you can see some similarities between these two teams, especially just kind of the way they match up. At Wisconsin, you know, their leading scorer going into this game is A.J. Storr, a 6'7 guard transferred from St. John's. He's returning to New York for this one, although he is a Midwestern kid. You know, growing up from in Illinois, he's coming back to New York. Their leading scorer, 6'7 guard, about 205 pounds. I feel like this is going to be a very interesting matchup between him and Terrence Edwards, the Sun Belt Player of the Year. They're both, you know, lengthy 6'7 guards. They both can shoot the three. It's not necessarily their best strength, but they both like to get into the lane and make things happen in the paint, whether it be distributing or shooting. A.J. Storr is maybe a little thicker, maybe a little stronger than Terrence Edwards. Edwards is, you know, a lanky guy. I think Edwards probably has longer arms, maybe has a little bit more length, even though Storr is, yeah, I think maybe listed an inch taller. But I feel like this is going to be a pretty intriguing matchup between those two. And then possible advantage for JMU is you don't have to have fat guard Storr for 40 minutes. Raekwon Horton can come off the bench, and I think he is a very interesting matchup to put on Storr. About the same size, very good defensive player, give you quality minutes, and can hit shots here and there. You're not expecting him to go off for 20 necessarily tomorrow, but I feel like you get quality minutes on him defensively. Keep Edwards fresh on the offensive end. Let him be a creator on your offensive end. You know, it's not often you would look at the matchup with the best player on a Big Ten team and think advantage 12 seed coming out of the Sun Belt, but I feel like that ability to bring Horton off the bench to match up with Storr at times and keep guys fresh. You know, JMU might possibly be the deeper team in this one. You know, Wisconsin will play a lot of guys, but it's really kind of, you know, their starting five, along with Connor Asigian, who started a lot of games last year as a freshman, isn't starting as a sophomore this year. Those are the guys I kind of rely on most. And you look across their starting lineup, and there are places where you think, okay, I think JMU matches up with this team. Tyler Wall, a 6'9", kind of a stretch four. He's just very reminiscent of a Julian Wooden that JMU will bring out there to play against him. They're both, you know, about 6'9", and both, you know, very, very capable of going out on the floor and play. Wooden can get to the basket. He's not necessarily going to bang with you underneath, but that might be a good thing for the Dukes, because I don't think Tyler Wall is going to try to do that with him either. The thing about Wisconsin is, you know, they play a big lineup. Traditionally, you would think them being guys who want to really kind of like bang with you underneath. They have the 7-footer Steven Crowell, who has a couple inches on TJ Bickerstaff at the center position. But I don't think he's a guy who's going to get pushed around, or who's going to go in and push around JMU's bigs. You even look at, you know, what he's done against some of these guys in the Big Ten. I see somebody like freshman Jalen Carey, may only be 6'8", 6'9", but I feel like he can use his wide body to like push Crowell around, get some space. Crowell's not an excellent shot blocker for a 7-footer. I don't know that the size is going to bother JMU as much as it might just look like it would on paper. That's not to say that, you know, I think JMU is necessarily going to run away with this one, call them a favorite or anything like that. You look at the Vegas lines. They have Wisconsin favored by about 5. I think KenPom's in about the same neighborhood, 5 to 7 points. You know, they're expected to do that for a reason. They've been battle-tested throughout this year playing a Big Ten schedule. It's been a while since JMU has played a team to this level. You know, I think Arkansas State was a team that was playing really well down the stretch when JMU played them in the Sun Belt Championship game. They have some really good players. Arkansas State, Caleb Fields is great. Freddie Hicks is a really good player. They don't have the number of guys who can play at that level that Wisconsin does. It's been a while since JMU's played App State, a team I think is kind of on that level. It's obviously been a long time since JMU played that season opener at Michigan State. That has given JMU a lot of street cred in this tournament. Is the reason why a lot of people are picking the Dukes to win this one or maybe even get to the Sweet 16. I don't think it's going to be easy for JMU, but I think the matchup points towards this being a competitive game when you look just kind of down the line at the guys who are going to play. You know, maybe JMU could use a little bit more of its physical style to make up for the lack of inches that they give up to Stephen Crowell. Who knows? Guard Chucky Hepburn is a pretty dynamic point guard. He doesn't score a lot this year, which is interesting. He scored more last year for the Badgers. I think adding Storr kind of, you know, changed his role on the team a little bit, making him less of a scorer. But he's a guy who can put up some points, which makes him quite similar to the guy who will be guarding him on the other side is Xavier Brown. And it's another case, though, where not only does the JMU starter match up with him a little bit, you've also got Mike Green able to come off the bench, give you quality minutes, hit some big shots. Mike Green's a guy, a Bronx native, coming back to play in New York. He's going to be excited for this one. Very interesting to see kind of how that point guard matchup ends up working out. And I find it interesting, as more as I dive into this, you would think like, oh, well, maybe the Big Ten team has the deeper bench. There are multiple spots where I'm thinking the fact that JMU has somebody they can bring in to not only be a change of pace but not give up much defensively compared to their starter at that position, I feel like that bodes well for JMU to at least have a chance to win this one late. And, you know, that's really all you can kind of ask for, and you're the underdog in a game like this, playing in your first NCAA tournament in 11 years. That's probably like the biggest question mark for JMU coming into this one. Mark Byington's never coached in an NCAA tournament game. The vast majority of the roster hasn't played in an NCAA tournament game, but they do have guys who have. You know, that's a big thing when you think about it. TJ Bickerstaff has played an NCAA tournament before. They didn't last very long when he was at Drexel. They got hammered in the first round by a number one seed Illinois team. But he's been through kind of all this, you know, hoopla before that goes before the game tips off. Beyond that, Raekwon Horton has played in the NCAA tournament last year, also lost in the first round, but played in a very similar type of situation where it was a Charleston team that had an extremely good regular season, great 30-win team, and played a very competitive game in the first round. They didn't quite pull it off, but his experience might end up being big in this one. You look at the staff. This is Mark Byington's first NCAA tournament game, but some of his assistants have been there before. You know, Matt Buckland's been at Clemson, places where they've made the NCAA tournament. He can rely on his staff a little bit. Also, cheers to Matt Buckland. His family welcomed in a new baby this week. So, big week for the Buckland family. As they get ready for the NCAA tournament with a brand new arrival to that family. So congrats there. As we look ahead to tomorrow night, I think it'll be interesting to kind of see the dynamics of just the building when we get here. I expect Wisconsin fans to travel well. This is a large arena. I think I saw somewhere where capacity is over 20,000, at least for some events. Wisconsin fans will travel well. There'll be a good number of red in the building, but I expect a good amount of purple. Just, you know, knowing how JMU draws a lot of students and alumni from the Northeast and the New York, New Jersey area, think it'll be a good crowd for JMU. And then the interesting thing of this, too, is Duke plays beforehand. Just open up the evening session, Duke versus Vermont. The Blue Devils will have probably the most people here of anybody. You know, they're obviously almost consider New York a home game for them because of their demographics with their student body and alumni. You know, they'll play regular season games in New York when they can. For that reason, expect a lot of Duke fans here for the early game. Now, will they stick around for the late game? Because you always kind of see this in the NCAA tournament. If that double-digit seed is hanging around, if they're threatening to pull off the upset, you see a lot of the other fans in the building that aren't rooting for the favorite, for Wisconsin tomorrow. A lot of them will adopt that team. I mean, who would Duke rather play, frankly, like in the second round? You know, they're going to be rooting for Wisconsin to get beat, not just because it's fun to see the underdog win, but because they probably feel like they have a better chance against a 12-seeded JMU team in the second round. Should the Blue Devils, I mean, this is assuming that the Blue Devils take care of Vermont in the first round. There's no given there. But I think Duke is considered a pretty hefty favorite in that one, especially compared to the JMU-Wisconsin game. But, you know, the locals who maybe don't have a dog in the fight, the Duke fans, the Vermont fans, everyone kind of hanging around that's not a Wisconsin fan in this building will likely be cheering at least somewhat for JMU tomorrow. I think that sometimes plays a role in these NCAA tournament games, frankly. I saw that firsthand last year going to Columbus to cover the JMU women in the NCAA tournament. They played that game on campus at Ohio State, but going on across town at the same time is the men's tournament at the Blue Jackets Arena there in Columbus. We go over there to watch what we think is going to be a pretty good FAU-Memphis game in the first round and get there for the second half of Purdue Fairleigh Dickinson. And we all know what happens there. You know, Fairleigh Dickinson ends up pulling off the upset of the number one seed in the second round. And I can tell you that everyone who wasn't a Purdue fan in that building, which was about half of the building, was rooting for Fairleigh Dickinson by the time the second half rolled around. You may see a similar kind of thing if JMU is in contention for this one as it gets late tomorrow night here at the Barclays Center. And it will be a late night, 9:40 start. Hopefully everybody, if you're not getting here to Brooklyn, hopefully everybody has a second cup of coffee during the day so they can stay up late and watch this one, because you know, it doesn't happen that often, folks, for the JMU Dukes in the NCAA tournament. Just, I think, the seventh time in school history, sixth time in school history, and back for the first time since 2013. An excellent season. JMU is going to continue to be competitive in the Sun Belt for the foreseeable future, I think. But you never know when it's going to get this good again when you play in typically a one-bid league and you win 31 games heading into the NCAA tournament. It's a special time for the Dukes. Looking forward to seeing what they do Friday night here in Brooklyn. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I'm Shane Metlin, coming to you from the Barclays Center, talking JMU hoops, a little bit of JMU football. I'll probably get back, hopefully have one, at least one more episode, you know, a little bonus episode here before I leave New York sometime Friday or Saturday or possibly Monday, depending on how things go. But before I leave New York, we'll have another episode of the Purple and Bold podcast. In the meantime, I'm Shane Metlin. You've been listening to P&B from the Daily News Record. Thanks for clicking on us and tuning in.